sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we have kind of baseball to talk about. So two scrimmage games against the White Sox. Both didn't go the Cubs' way, but I don't know if that really matters. They have one more game against the Indians, and then it's the real deal starting this Friday, July 24th, against the Brewers at Wrigley Field. But on today's episode, we were talking about that scrimmage. We've got some news to hit on here, as well as things to kind of sort of break down in terms of games. We won't go too heavy into this because it doesn't really matter, but we'll talk about some positives, some negatives from these two games, and kind of go from there. Today's episode is brought to you in partnership with CubsInsider.com. Head to CubsInsider.com to read about Chris Bryant speaking candidly about his mental grind and the absurd rumors that he's unhappy in Chicago. All that and more on CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs or whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a five-star review. Then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Cubs had two scrimmage games against the White Sox. That White Sox lineup, pretty impressive. They tagged the Cubs for 7 and 5 runs. In the first game, the big takeaway from it, Kyle Hendricks pitched relatively well, was getting himself into a little bit of trouble in the fifth. They pulled him after he got to his pitch count. Jarrell Cotton came in and kind of got lit up as the Cubs were leading at that point, I believe 2-0 at that point. They end up giving, he gives up a 5 spot to the White Sox, and Jarrell Cotton just couldn't seem to locate his pitches. He has an array of pitches, but not a ton of control. It's a big issue for him. Hopefully he can kind of work through things because the Cubs really do need him to be one of those guys who can go a couple innings for the Cubs. And with this being such a strange 2020 season, any pitcher you have that can go multiple innings is definitely an asset. So you're hoping for the best, but I saw a lot of people thinking that Cotton was going to get punted off this team. No. I don't think that's going to happen. This White Sox lineup is pretty good. As we saw then the next day, nothing really happened in that game beyond that. Cotton gave up those runs. The Cubs tacked on another run, but ended up losing that game 7-3. Jason Kipnis with a solo shot beginning the first. That was encouraging. And then in the second game, the Cubs lose to the Sox 5-3. It was Darvish that gave up the runs in the top of the first inning. Gave up a grand slam to Eloy Jimenez, which just stings. But Darvish settled down a little bit after that and kind of figured things out. The Cubs tacked on a couple more runs and made it close after the seventh inning. I think Steven Souza grounded into a single through the right side, scored a couple of runs. Cubs lose 5-3 to the Sox, though. Big takeaway, though, is the pitching. Obviously, that's a concern. Darvish is going to be home run happy. That's going to happen sometimes. And, you know, you take the good with the bad. I would much rather trade the home runs as opposed to the walks because then the home runs are likely going to come with runners on. So it's a bummer that he gave up a grand slam to, of all people, Eloy Jimenez, but I'm not going to dive too deep into it. Darvish seems mentally ready. He seems like he's ready for the season to start. He's been saying so beforehand. You know, it's going to be tough for these guys to work through it. The good news is everyone else in baseball is dealing with it too, but, you know, it is what it is. So I'm not going to dwell on that too much. I think the big issue really is you have to look at this bullpen and start to wonder who are these guys that are going to be able to go multiple innings, and are they guys you could truly lean on? I think Alec Mills at this point has proven to be, he's a reliable commodity at this point out of the bullpen, or likely as a starter now with Jose Quintana, which we did get news on. We'll touch on that in the second segment. Jose Quintana out and likely not going to be part of this team to start the season. You're going to have to get some performances out of a guy like Jarrell Cotton. Maybe it's not as a starter, but maybe you need him to go 4 or 5 innings because he's got to split a game with Tyler Chatwood. Or maybe you don't want to, you know, it's going to be strange. This bullpen usage, only 60 games. Maybe you don't necessarily worry about guys going back to back as much. Maybe you do. It's going to be a tough balancing act, but any guy you have that can go multiple innings is a huge asset for the Cubs. And they do have multiple guys that have experience flipping in and out of that reliever starter role. So I'm interested to see how that goes. I don't know if I mentioned this on the other show, but Kyle Hendricks, opening day starter. How awesome is that? Obviously, John Lester has been the guy for a while. Yu Darvish probably had a nod at it potentially. But when you look at the body of work that Kyle Hendricks has put in, of course, with his tenure with the Cubs, it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm really excited for Kyle. I think he deserves this. I'm excited that he's going to be the guy that goes up against the Brewers to start that game on Friday and kind of go from there. And then the best news of the day, Anthony Rizzo is on track to start for opening day. He's been dealing with back spasms, which has then led to rib inflammation. He had an MRI done last week that did confirm that rib was inflamed. He's been taking his time with that, taking at bats. My overall feel on the whole situation is that if this were the regular season, Rizzo would probably be, you know, playing, would be my take on this whole situation. There's no real reason to put him out there other than getting him at bats and getting him ready. But as a guy like Rizzo, you know, he's a guy that can kind of jump in and immediately make a difference no matter what. With the DH added too as well, I think the Cubs will be able to ease him in there while still also getting his bat. But obviously his glove at first base is maybe not just as important as his bat, but, you know, definitely makes some of Javier Baez's really tough gloves and not so great throws look a lot better. So you hope for the best for Rizzo, but it sounds like he's okay. He's making standard progress, should hopefully be ready to contribute opening day and go from there. But it is something you start to worry about a little bit as he gets older and, you know, these back spasms do become more and more of an issue. He did spend a ton of time this offseason, you know, at least not this off, I guess extended offseason, if you want to put it, the time when the season was shut down due to COVID. He spent a good amount of time working and getting healthier. It looks like he dropped close to 20 pounds. He looks very svelte is the way I've heard people describe it. And he just looks really great. You hope it's for the best and that helps maybe his body kind of push through, especially what's going to be classified as a sprint through this season. So, all right, here in the second segment, we got some news about Jose Quintana, who said he was lucky to be able to throw a baseball after his freak dishes, washing dishes injury that he had on June 27th. It sounded like he was getting ready to report to camp the Chicago the day before, and when he hurt his thumb, and he had thrown close to 50 to 55 pitches the day before and was feeling better, working towards this, ramping up. And then, of course, his injury happened, and he was kind of worried that he wouldn't be able to contribute at all. They did have the microscopic surgery on his thumb, were able to reattach the nerves to his thumb, and it sounds like his mobility in that thumb is good. And Hodavi's hoping that he can start throwing off a mound the next, like, 7 to 10 days, but he's essentially starting from square one. He's going to be basically where he was before the season got shut down. So that's a concern, but you still have to think Jose Quintana probably still better than a lot of the other options you could throw out there. So we hope for a speedy recovery. Hope he's a part of this team in the next 2 weeks. Well, you know, fingers crossed. So Jason Kipnis has officially made this team. He is officially a Cub and a guy that I think will be a big part of this team in terms of veteran leadership, but also just his plate approach. He's flashed some power. He's a lot better in the field than I was expecting to see him be. And, you know, for a guy that's grown up a Cubs fan, it's a pretty cool story, even though I think a lot of people in Chicago either don't like Kipnis because of the World Series in 2016 or don't like Kipnis because he's played his career essentially the entire time with the Cleveland Indians. And if you cheer for the White Sox, you're pretty familiar with Jason Kipnis. So I'm excited to see what he can add. He's at least better than Daniel Descalso. So that's about all you can say. Adjustments for 2020 season. So a lot of guys were talking about this, and even Steven Souza mentioned this too as well, that, you know, obviously the stats are not something you're really going to be paying too much attention to because they're going to be pretty warped and kind of not really important. But even just the way people are going about their normal day to day, you have to kind of factor in the situation that, you know, the Cubs are going to start the season and play 17 straight games. You can easily get yourself mentally burnt out by just keep continuously going through the same routine you would through 162 games. But for 60 games, this is a sprint, and you can't necessarily just, you know, work out the way you did before. Kyle Schwarber in a quote said, "I'm not getting to the field or as early as I used to," who's an absolute gym rat, by the way. With our video stuff, we're going to have more, I would say, self-dependent on just we're not allowed to go around touching some other computers for sanitary reasons. We're going to have to prep our own meetings, our hitter rallies. We're going to have to do some of the cage routines. It's just a little tiny adjustment, but I think we're already getting used to that these past couple of weeks. So even just like the way they're going approaching things like that, that's crazy. You think about like coming into the pitch lab and whatnot, like you can't go touch their computers. You can't all use the same computer to access IV. This is all kind of things you have to do in your own time. So Schwarber's saying, you know, hey, I'm taking my time getting to the ballpark and prepping before I get there so I can get there and just get, you know, focus on the swings, that, you know, take care of workouts. But, you know, it's not like the gym is going to be wide open to these guys. And, you know, it, little things you have to continuously think about as this strange and awkward 2020 season starts to hopefully commence here this week. But it's just kind of, I thought it kind of just showed the mental aspect of this and how hard it's going to be to get past some of the stuff. Even Chris Bryant, as we talked about at the top of the show, talking about how it's going to be tough. You know, it's a game we play for fun. At the end of the day, it's a job, and, you know, there's money involved and we need to win games. So sitting there at home talking about my wife about expectation stuff, I feel like the worst player in the world sometimes. Then I'll go look at my baseball reference page and I'm like, oh, I have a 900 OPS. So it's like little things like that. These guys are going to have to continuously remind themselves, especially because, you know, a 60 game slump, it's obviously like a second half of the season, but that's something that, you know, players can go through sometimes. You hope it's the opposite, where you see Kyle Schwarber, who had a great, you know, second half stretch last year. Same with Yu Darvish. But, you know, it's tough to try and, you know, push yourself through this. So the mental aspect of this, I think is going to be way more important than I think people maybe quite understand yet. Because it's not just baseball. You know, you're playing baseball in a pandemic. So per Jim Kalis of the MLB Pipeline, the Cubs have agreed to a deal with their third round MLB draft pick, Jordan Nwago, an outfielder from Michigan. He signed for his full slot value, and he was the last of the Cubs' five draft picks that he yet to sign, which is really exciting because Jordan Nwago, for some reason, follows me on Twitter. So I'm going to try and get him on the show. But now that he's officially signed, I'm definitely going to push for that. But I'm glad the Cubs got this taken care of. All five of these guys look like promising players, and I'm excited to see what's going on. But Jordan Nwago, super fun guy. Led off for Michigan and also led the team in home runs. Very fast, good on the bases. Seems to be pretty solid in the outfield. I'm excited to see what he can provide for the Cubs in the next couple of years. So. And then finally, Wilson Contreras working on his framing, as he always has. Sahadev Sharma had a really great story with The Athletic that came out today talking about how Contreras is really kind of focusing heavily on his one flaw. And David Ross had a quote that I took away from this article saying, "In the past, just throwing a lot of techniques at him and trying to get that in the middle of a season or through a season is extremely difficult. You get locked into your pitcher and how you set up, and then you want to totally switch in the middle of the season. Not only that affects you, but it affects your ability to catch and frame balls. But it also affects the pitcher when you start a new setup. It's nice to have one message consistently throughout spring training." So they're hoping that instead of trying to tinker and mess around with Contreras, that they can try and just get him, now that he has had so much time to work on this, kind of focus on those little things, you know, the way he sets up, the way he's catching and receiving different guys. And, you know, hopefully through that routine, it can still kind of build that rapport that he needs with that pitching staff, which he's always been really good at, but also just get him in a more, I don't know, active position so where he can try and just kind of do a better job of framing some of those pitches on the outside, grabbing some balls that dip just below the strike zone for a guy like Kyle Hendricks. Those type of things are incredibly important. And while they don't necessarily, it isn't the be all end all that a catcher has to be an excellent framer, it does a hell of a job really for pitchers and your payday at the end of the day. If you can even just be, you know, admirable at it, even just like, you know, average at best is something that I think catchers are striving for in that framing category. But if Contreras can even just get a little bit better than where he was a couple of years ago, where he was truly one of the worst framing catchers in baseball, it's a big plus. And pretty much takes away the one reason why the Cubs were supposedly shopping him around or whatever, because they want a framing catcher or whatever have you. So, but Contreras working on that is huge. He's already looked great at the plate. He's had a couple pretty big dingers in scrimmage games. Let's hope that Contreras can kind of keep going and make himself too hard, too important to trade. I want to see Willie around in the north side for the next couple of years. So That will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. We will be having daily shows the rest of this week. Sorry I didn't take care on Monday's episode. I officially moved to my apartment, my new place here in Chicago this weekend, but was waiting for AT&T to get here for the internet until roughly 7:30 this morning. They finally came, so it took a while, but we've got podcasts. I will be podcasting the rest of the week. But remember to get this show every day. You need to subscribe to Locked On Cubs and whatever podcast app you use. Make sure you check out the latest episode of Locked On MLB hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Tell your smart folks to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy, or excuse me, Locked On MLB after this episode of Locked On Cubs. And then I do want to give a quick shout out to one of our new sponsors. It is our friends at CBDMD, who have an amazing deal that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. The CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles, joints, and convenience, and easy-to-use roller and spreadable squeeze tubes. And then they have the CBD Recover, which combines CBD with an inflammation-fighting compound like Arcana and vitamin B6, sorry if I butchered that, to give you the support you need when it matters most. To make it even easier, try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else that CBDMD has to offer. They're offering all our listeners now 25% off. So on your next order, when you use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB, save yourself 25% off at checkout. So that's once again, CBDM.com, promo code MLB to get 25% off of your purchases with the superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. But make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOCKEDONCUBS. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Thanks for tuning into your guys' Daily Cubs podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubbies.